going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
B. Mitch and Finley on a Tuesday celebrating a Caps Game 1 victory.
Hell,
how about
yeah.
That? That was a scary end to that one.
Yeah, I didn't like the end. And as I'm watching it, I forgot the guy's name that was calling in landfill. Remember the guy that's really mad at him? He was talking about how they take these lulls in games and stuff, and we basically called him a hater. Well, that third period, that guy should have been running around the house saying, hell, I know what I'm talking about. It's moments where you got to clear the puck. And instead of just clearing the puck, lift it over somebody's head.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to hit these low things right past guys. And for some reason, hockey players, they get that damn the stick on the puck anytime you think you're going to keep it low.
They're so good at that.
Yeah, but flip it over the top and get it out of there. When you're being bombarded with shots, you need to get it the hell out of there any way you can. And I think it got to that point where, oh, Lord, here we go. But you know what? The great eight.
He's incredible. That was the one thing that scared me going into this.
Show it up once again, baby.
That was the one thing that scared me going into this was there were too many times in the last couple of games that just puck possession in their D zone was just, they couldn't clear the puck. And the first two periods, you weren't worried about it because they were checking everybody.
Yeah.
They were just hitting everything that moved. They were flying all around. And then that third period, I don't even know that it was as much a lull as it seemed like. Maybe they were a little bit tired from how much they were flying around hitting everybody in the first two periods.
But it started off, I mean, you look at the game, and the majority of the game, they were doing their thing. But then just that little period where, you know, what's the little bitty kid, what is it, Carly?
Caulfield?
Bruh. That dude is like the smallest guy on the ice. He's a jitterbug. You cannot – he was all over the damn place. But the thing is, they just have that little period, whether it's low, tired, whatever it is too much. And you can't continue doing it. You got to clean it up.
I was listening to G&D. They were out at City Tap House in Penn Quarter yesterday. They had Tarik El-Bashir on. Uh-huh. And Grant asked Tarik, who's the player that I'm going to hate coming out of this series? You know, whether they're a pest, whatever it may be. And I think his name's Brendan Gallagher. And right away, like 2 minutes into the game, he's already mixing it up with somebody. Mm-hmm. I think that's the guy that, I forget who got him with the high stick, but they didn't call it with a cross check. I think like him and maybe TVR.
You were following through, so you can't call it. I have seen games that is called high sticking. And now in this one, when you follow through, you can't call it. Well, how else do you call
in
it?
If
you high stick going back, that's when they call it?
In the power play, when they had the trip on John Carlson right off the top, how do you miss that?
Listen, man, some of these refs are, I think, just straight idiots. I'll put it out there. But the thing that kills me is, when else is the stick high? When you're following through, right?
Mm-hmm.
So every time you call a high sticker, you can't tell me that one of those guys wasn't following through. I think you have to have control over it at all times. What if you hit him in the eye and messed his eye up?
Yeah. I mean,
it's just a problem.
What was the one that they got called? Who was the one that got called later on in the game when he accidentally caught? Was it Doubter up top? So, yeah, I mean, it's
was he not following through?
It's just insane. It was wild. There were some bad calls, some missed calls. There's no doubt about
it. But they got the victory. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. They win game one. Alex Ovechkin is still incredible, right? I mean, yeah. the ability that he has, his first shot was awesome. Keep that thing low. Mm-hmm. Can't see where that thing's coming from. Goalie's blocked out. That thing gets in there. He gets the assist on the Beauvillier goal and then also scores the game winner in overtime. First, which is crazy because I was watching ESPN last night. I know Joe B's call was great as well, but I was watching ESPN. And Sean McDonough was saying, he's never done this before. He's never scored an overtime playoff winner. And then 10 seconds later, he scores an overtime playoff
winner.
That's what
you're just doing. Whenever you say something like that, it's a challenge. But what I learned lately, he has crashed the net a lot. And the thing about it, with his hand-eye coordination, you get a rebounding puck, he can hit it, get it where it needs to go quickly. And he was able to lift that one real quickly. So the whole thing about Ovi, he has exceptional talent. And when he adds other stuff to his game, that's a problem for the other team. I still believe that we're looking at Thompson was playing great, but he needs help from his guys. The second goal, hell, I thought it was one of our guys that basically got him knocked down and had him outside the net. When, what's the kid's name, Suzuki?
Yeah.
He scored. He was way outside the net and right next to one of our guys who was interrupting him. You know? Yeah. So you can't do that to your own damn goalie.
Yeah, it was not a good play, but I thought overall they played really, really well, except for maybe a 10-15-minute stretch there in the third period. So it was good to see them get the win. Going to talk plenty of Capitals today. Coming up at 11 o'clock, we're going to get into the NFL draft with Thor Nystrom. At noon, your guy Barstool Nate going to join us. We'll talk plenty of Caps with him, and then Alan May going to join us coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll dive into everything. If you guys want to hop in on the phone lines reacting to the Game 1 win for the Capitals, 3-2 over the Canadiens in Game 1, 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. I think that Logan Thompson yesterday was solid. It seemed like there were a little bit of shaky moments when he had to play the puck, when he had to decide if he was going to come out and play the puck to his guys or what he was going to do. But I think outside of that, I think in terms of saving and in his ability in net to block shots, I thought he looked really, really good.
I'm scared the hell out of him because he was out away from the net and he waits, and then here come a defender right next to your guy. What if it doesn't get to your guy and he just slaps it in the neck? You're not set up yet. So, you know, maybe it's just a little rust. So I wrote off everything that he did not good as rust.
Well, and you got to be happy with a guy that hasn't played for a couple of weeks, three weeks or so, to come back and end up saving the shots that he did and play the way that he did. You got to be happy with that. 33 saves on 35 shots. And I thought some of those were some really difficult saves he was able to come up with and kind of bailed them out a little bit. I thought defensively they were fine for the first two periods. It's really the case that final 15 minutes or so where they just didn't look like the same hockey team. But the thing that I really liked, B. Mitch, is coming out right away. You heard from just about any analyst that understands this game better than we do, frankly, in terms of the Canadians are a smaller team. They're a faster team. They're going to try and get up and down, use that speed. And Washington came out and said, we're the bullies. We're going to hit you every chance we get.
The way you start out small guys, you make, like I always tell people, if you take a guy, let's say he's 5'10", 180, 190, and he wrestles with a guy 6'3", 234, that little guy going to get tired rather quickly. And that's what you need to do to him sometimes. Just go at him and beat him up. And when you beat him up, you got to have success against him because later on in that game, as we saw, you slow down a little bit too because the big guy gets a little winded too. That little guy has longer, he can go longer.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden they were able to do that and it caused a little issues late, but we got it out. And I think hopefully that gets their focus back on what they need to exactly do.
Yeah, I mean, they needed to get game one, right? Especially the way that they started that game. It would have been a real disappointment if they were not able to capture game one after starting up 2-0, playing so well in those first two periods. But they do close it out, and I think this is a huge momentum boost. And I don't know that it's a crusher for Montreal because they showed those last couple minutes that they can play with the Capitals. But I think the way that they came out we asked the question going in to just about everybody that was on this station, whether it was the Junks, whether it was us, or whether it was G&D, about can they flip that switch. I think they answered our question in those first couple of minutes of the game. They definitively can flip that switch because they did. They look like a totally different hockey team, especially in those first 10 minutes, but the first two periods in general, flying all around the ice, hitting everyone. They looked more like themselves, passing the puck around, able to dominate in the offensive zone. It's really the only blemish is those final 10 minutes or so when they gave up both those goals.
Mm-hmm.
But I think overall, that's a really good hockey game you can feel good about.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, when you win it, you find good. You find all the good. You know, but I think also it gives Carberry a chance to be able to correct some things. We won this game, but we can't let these things happen. And if they correct those things, I think things would be good for them.
Yeah, and I think it was fun just seeing some of those guys fly around. I thought Ryan Leonard, my guy, did pretty well. And got to give credit to Landfill. He called an OV goal, which he got two of them.
Called a doubt.
He called, yeah, and who else? Did you call a Stromer assist, right?
Strom got an assist. Yeah.
So credit to him. And Anthony Beauvillier was awesome last night, too. He's someone that has playoff experience, not with the Capitals, but with the Penguins. And
right, you quickly get in the game when you have experience.
Yeah, and he played really, really well. I thought his goal was really, really pivotal. That was something that they needed at that time to go up to, because that was the only thing that was missing from those first 10 minutes or so when they were flying around, is they couldn't put one in the back of the net, but they were dominating. Because I was a little bit worried. You get a couple minutes in there when they're flying around, you're like, uh-oh, this Monsonbo guy is going to stand on his head. And he's going to. We've seen that before with the Caps dominate.
Good.
And then this stupid goalie on the other side gets hot.
Yeah. What was the guy back in the day? What was his name?
There's plenty of series. I feel like you can choose from.
No, it was just one, but he just did everything against him. I'll get it eventually. But it was some years back. And he just, no matter what they did, like he had four people back there with him.
Mm-hmm.
He just stopped everything.
Well, and that's the beautiful part last night, too, about getting Logan Thompson back in the net, is I thought he looked really solid, but we were talking about him having to shake some of that rust off. Well, it's already shaken off, right? That was game one a playoff series. Now you don't even have to worry about it. Now the question's not who starts in net game two, who starts in net game three. There's no question. It's Logan Thompson, and if something needs to happen, you know, if he loses form or whatever, then you can go to Charlie Lindgren. But now you know Logan Thompson's ready to go.
Ready to go.
Charlie Lindgren's ready to go. And if you can get back Ferravari, which it sounds like there might be a little bit more injury there than, you know, what they're leading on. They're always very vague with hockey injuries, so who knows when he gets back out on the ice. But if you get Protas back, then you're going to feel even better about yourselves.
I mean, the thing with Protas, the way that they're talking, it seems like very late in the series, but you hope it's sooner. I hope they're just being a little bit cautious and not trying to get us overly excited. But him on the ice would be a hell of a plus for him.
Oh, big time. Yeah. I mean, just that size, that skating ability would definitely be helpful. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. The Capitals win game one, 3-2 over the Canadiens. Don is in Ashburn. Don, what's going on?
Hey, fellas. Hey, so, yeah, that 10 or 15-minute period in the third was bad, but they were missing some passes throughout the game, and I think they'll get, you know, they'll get their mojo back and start hitting on those, because there were parts where they felt like they were dominating. They just couldn't connect on passes. But if you go back and watch that goal that Ovi scored in overtime, he actually kicks the puck back to the goal line, back to Bolivier when he makes that that first attempt on the shot. It was pretty incredible because he was moving across the net, and then he, with his right foot, he kicked the puck back and got that. That's how that first shot got off, and then he centered himself to get the game winner. It's pretty incredible if you watch it and see what I'm talking about. But go Caps, man. They needed that win.
Oh, yeah.
Appreciate it, Don.
You needed that.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff that Alex Ovechkin, because obviously,
I'm not amazed at nothing he does anymore.
You can't be, because everything that he does is just, you should expect at this point. But there are some people that are just gifted with an innate ability of whatever it may be. But for him, it's just, he has a knack for finding the back of the net.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't matter where you're at, what he's doing, where you get him the puck. Because, I mean, there was even a spot last night where Dylan Strome probably had a better shot than Ovi did. Ovi was in a really bad angle, and Stromer's like, could I take the shot or should I just pass it to eight?
Uh-huh.
And he passed it to Ovi, and there was still a chance there that if Luke Dubois could have got his, Pierre-Luc Dubois could have got a stick on it, it was right there in front.
It's the thing about Ovi is you know where he's normally going to score from, but when he starts to get closer to the net on that second, like that overtime goal, there's not a goalie out there that want to see that.
No.
You know, it's a lot of goalies with a lot of confidence. And listen, I believe it's the toughest position in all of sports. We can throw quarterback out there all we want. Everything is set up for the quarterback to do good. Can't hit him hard, can't hit him high, can't hit him low. Everybody's blocking for him. That damn goalie, when that puck leaves the stick, he probably can't even see it. And then when he gets in position, it may hit a body, hit a skate, hit a stick, and it can change direction. And sometimes they still stop that. That's the toughest position in sports. And then none of them are confident enough to say, I want Ovi sitting there shooting pucks at me.
I love how you know where he's going to shoot. He scores his first goal from his office. Mm-hmm. And I think it was Kobe Bryant said, in order to be, I think it was dominant, or in order to be legendary, you have to be predictable. Because you know what I'm going to do, and you still can't stop it.
Bam.
And yeah. Ovi's going to set up over the top of that left circle, and you can't do anything about it.
Nothing. Because you could be sitting there, you don't know if it's coming high right, high left, low right, low left, or he's going to hit you with one that may be waffling a little bit, and it jumps down mm-hmm. on you at the end. You never know.
It's just incredible because, B-Mitch, this guy's 39 years old. He looks like he could still play another 5 years.
What were we talking about earlier about people want to automatically write people off when they hit 30?
Yeah.
That ish is gone, okay? Let's get that straight. Athletes today, the exceptional ones, go way beyond 30. Stop fooling yourselves about and then the people that are still using that analogy, go lay in front of a car tire. Let it just bump you and roll over your head because, like, that's stupid. People can go a long ways over 30, man.
So last night, Alex Ovechkin with 2 goals and assists on 4 shots. This is my favorite stat, if I'm looking at this correctly. Lars Eller and Brandon Duhaime had 5 hits. Taylor Radish had 4. Beauvillier had 4. No one tops the grade 8 with 7 hits.
Hey, how many goal scorers do that?
Not many.
That's what I'm saying.
And not many level of, what was it, Cole Caulfield was on ESPN last night after, remember, he got decked in the second period. And I think her name's Emily Kaplan asked, what did you make of getting hit by Ovi? He's like, I wouldn't recommend it.
Dude, that dude, how tall is he? Caulfield.
He's not very big.
And Ovi's 6'3", 238.
Mm-hmm.
Moving that fast, hitting little man. Little man went airborne, didn't he?
He definitely did.
Yeah.
Well, and credit to Caulfield, just 5'8", 175 is what he's listed on ESPN.
That's Rory McIlroy.
Right. Rory
that
around
is Rory
the...
Rory McIlroy.
That's Rory running into Derrick Henry.
Yes.
It's insane. But yeah,
I'm with Caulfield. I wouldn't recommend it.
No, I would not recommend
wouldn't
it.
Wouldn't recommend that at all.
I thought they came out with a really good game plan, really physical, and that's something that I think we were worried about if they could flip the switch, and I think anyone that was worried about that, watching those first 10 minutes of the game, watching the first 2 periods, you felt a lot better. Now, they just got to make sure they play a full 60 because that's the main thing there, because you saw the Canadians get a little bit of rhythm there in the final 10 minutes or so. But outside of that, you got to feel really good coming out of game one with a win, 3-2, especially with Montembeault playing as well as he did. The Capitals still finding a way to win. That's a good one to have. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. The Capitals are up 1-0 in their first round game in the Stanley Cup playoffs after a 3-2 win. Alex Ovechkin doing something for the first time, a playoff overtime game winner. Continue talking about the Caps next here on B. Mitch and Finley.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skene strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Chychrun is there too as the puck comes toward Beauvillier. Ovechkin was in the vicinity and a shot here from Beauvillier. It's hit! They score! And Ovechkin got it! His first overtime game winner! Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Montreal! Alex Ovechkin, the overtime game-winning goal! Caps lead the series 1-0.
That was John Walton on the call for the Capitals Radio Network, heard right here on 106.7 The Fan. Here the playoffs, all playoffs long. Hopefully plenty more games to come right here on The Fan. B. Mitch, he got us fired up for going into the game yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And his calls of game winners always get me fired up as
well.
Oh,
hell yeah.
John
Definitely.
Walton, one of the best in the biz. The Capitals get a 3-2 win in overtime. Alex Ovechkin with two goals on the night. If you want to hop in, 800-636-1067. Let's get out to Jonesy. Jonesy, what's going on, man?
Hey, other guy. Hey, Dirty 30, B. Mitch, what's going on?
What's happening, brother?
I'm just messing with you, Toby. How you feeling, man?
I'm doing great, man.
Check this out, man. I two-thirds of the game, I love. It's the last game was, I was sitting on a respirator, you know what I mean? Because it was setting up to look like he was about to lose. But Toby, man, the dude is a robot, man. Heart robot all the way, 100% straight eight beast. He saved us. And Dylan Strome, can't say enough about that dude. I think he's going to be that dude when Obi finally pretty much say, hey, he's hanging up the daggone skate. But B. Mitch, you said it once before, about a few years back. You cannot let a team come in at the ending of a game and give them confidence, because often that's how games are stolen.
Yeah.
But luckily, we was able to get away with it. They're going to have to come with it in game two, because these jokers is going to be coming out there hunting for blood.
Oh, yeah, they got a little confidence now.
Go ahead.
That's it. They got a little confidence now, so you got to make sure you got to kill that. Yeah.
Can't give them no confidence, and that's what they did. So you got to bring it strong coming out here. You know, like we do on S-Talk, bring it strong. Don't bring it at all in game two. It's going to be a tough one.
Oh, yeah.
Other than that, fellas, y'all have a good day. Hang out with my boy Jaywalk, and I'm good.
All right, bro.
I appreciate it, Jonesy. Yeah, he mentioned.
You gotta be careful hanging out with Jeff, man. We don't know.
He mentioned Dylan Strome. It's kind of crazy with what his career had kind of come into. He scored 57 points in 2018, 2019 with Arizona and then with Chicago. So had a solid season there. And then after that, 51 points in 18, 19, only 38 in 19, 20. And then eventually ends up with 48 the year before he didn't get tendered and ends up in Washington. And since then, 65 points first year with the Capitals, 67 points last year, and 82 points this year. Dylan Strome has been spectacular. The way that he has turned into a really, really good player, where you had no idea who was going to fill in for Nicklas Backstrom now that he's kind of finished with his career. You had no idea who was going to be that guy. And Dylan Strome steps right in and has been spectacular in his time in D.C.
There's a clip out there with Mike Tomlin talking about people who like to say guys can't do stuff. He say he loves to hear coaches say that. He say, isn't that your job as a coach to find people to do it? So what he's done since he's gotten here, not only does he have players that have done exceptional things, he has a coaching staff who can get him where he needs to go. And normally once you get that confidence, then all of a sudden what you have in you comes out. So we'll talk about that later on too, where you know you get the guys coming out of the draft and everybody go, oh, this guy can't do this. Well, if you're a coach, you're supposed to get him to do it, right?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I think that's the ultimate thing. The Caps know how to get, just like we talked about Dan Quinn yesterday with his staff, they know how to get the best out of people.
Captain Todd said we can change the name of the show. It's the B. Mitch and the Other Guy Show. Or we can call it B. Mitch and Friends. Let's get out to Crazy Drew. What's going on, Drew?
Hey, Toby. Hey, B. Mitch.
What up, brother?
Hey, so the thing I wanted to say is one of the things that makes sports great is sometimes these storylines. And you do get the feeling with Ovi getting the all-time goal record that this is a season where, you know, some amazing things can happen. And yesterday was just another example. But I got to say, I just give these guys a pretty good chance of going all the way and getting a cup. And I think that would be pretty amazing. You know, the one thing I think with hockey that's a little different than some of the other sports is a little randomness. And I think that's what we saw last night with those two goals. I mean, they did let up a little bit, but some of that was just the weird bounces, they're skating on ice and all that stuff. And so, I think if we can just overcome the randomness of hockey, this team's got greatness in store for the year. And it'll be one of the great seasons of all time. So I'm excited.
All right, man. That's
appreciate
a good way
it,
of saying it. The randomness of hockey.
I mean, there is.
There's some random crap that goes on out there. I promise you that.
There really is. There's puck luck. You got to get lucky with the way the puck bounces. That's what I was saying. It's just so crazy, B-Mitch, because you just the way that the ice changes over time, the puck's going to bounce differently. Like,
yep.
It's just such a crazy sport where you never know.
If the Zamboni guy don't do a good job, you got a problem.
Right? I mean, it's just an insane sport. But to see them come out play the way they did early on in that game, I think was really encouraging because that was not the team that we saw over the last couple of weeks leading into the playoffs and trying to get back in shape of playing the way they did earlier in the season coming off of the goal chase. And so seeing that again was refreshing because that's the team we saw earlier in the season. And now it's just about maintaining that, having that energy. It was really encouraging to see them flip that switch. They're minus 650 now to win the series against Montreal, so they're pretty heavily favored to do so. And obviously they're the one seed. They should win this series. But it's just so crazy with hockey. You never want to take anything for granted. So getting game one is just massive.
Totally, totally. Because like the last thing you want, you'd be the favorite and you give up home field, home ice. Get caught up in that sometimes. Home heights advantage. Mm-hmm. You don't want to do that.
Yeah, and the atmosphere looked electric last night. Yeah. It always is, but
yeah,
it looked great last night.
It's going to be electric when they get to Montreal, so you might want to get game two as well.
Yeah, I saw a couple of Nationals pitchers were hanging out right there on the glass behind the Nets.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Irvin and Mackenzie Gore were at the game last night taking it in. I'm going to go over to Nats Park a little later, maybe ask them about their experience. But yeah, it seemed like a great crowd, a good win for the Capitals.
I really like seeing that too, like all the other sports getting into it, you know. That makes a world of difference.
Well,
you get the people in the town supporting each other. It's good stuff.
What was it like during your time playing here?
Yeah, I mean, we went to a lot of the basketball games. It wasn't all the baseball, and the hockey wasn't that good back then. But we went to the basketball games a lot, and everybody showed up at the football games early on because we were winning all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now it's flipped. The team that wins all the time are the Caps.
But it's kind of cool to see when you have those relationships.
Yeah,
like that 18-19 run where the Capitals won and the Nationals were always there.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Nationals won and the Capitals were always there. It was cool to see that relationship.
True.
And for the longest time, with the previous ownership of the Commanders,
nobody wanted to deal with him.
No one wanted to be around.
They went for the players and the team, but they didn't want to go for him.
And now that has changed, right? They're embracing everybody.
Drastically.
The Wizards obviously embracing because of the same ownership as the Capitals. So seeing all the teams back together again,
but
it's
what
nice
it does,
to see, refreshing.
More than anything, one team wins, all athletes are truly competitive. They're like, oh, we got to get one now.
Well, and so
they don't just sit back and want to enjoy you doing it. They want to be able to do it, too.
That's what I think is interesting. There's a new series out on Netflix. If you haven't checked it out, it's about the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
They followed them last year. And there's a clip when the Celtics showed up to a Red Sox game with the championship trophy and the guys walking through the clubhouse before the game and saying what's up to Jason Tatum and whatnot. And I can't remember who it was, but one reliever was talking to Joe Mazzulla, head coach of the Celtics. And they were just chit-chatting. And he's like, seeing y'all do that makes us want to get one.
Hell yeah.
How much does that push? Like, when you have success with one team.
Listen, man, if I see someone getting the love from the city, I want to see the love from the city. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to sit there and just be a fan. If you are a person getting paid to do a sport, you see somebody else getting all that love. You want to experience that. And you don't experience it by just showing up to the game and watching them. You go and work a little harder. You start doing things you weren't doing before. You know, ask them questions. Hey, man, what did it take? You know, was it the team or did every individual comes back a little stronger, a little better?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the team is a lot stronger, a lot better. And if you could get your team to do the same thing, then maybe you get that opportunity.
Well, I bet you for guys like Jake Irvin and Mackenzie Gore, who haven't been here when the Nationals were good, right? They came over after 2019. Mm-hmm. They've been here after. It probably was, I wouldn't say eye-opening, because they've seen the stadium packed before, but maybe not all Nats fans. Like when the opening series was here, it was the Phillies, so you had a lot of Phillies fans mixed in there. It was still an electric environment, but not the same as all 20,000 people wearing Caps jerseys cheering for the same team. I bet you that does motivate them. Like, I want to see Nats Park like this.
I think, was it Jaden that said, like, you know, he wanted to get Northwest just like that? Because he saw some game, I think, last year, and it was packed. He wanted to see the same thing. It creeps in.
Yeah.
It creeps in, man. And if you could get, can you imagine getting Northwest one day just all burgundy and gold? We don't see all them other teams.
It's always
be on the outside trying to get in, but the hell with them being inside.
It'd be nice.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to have it back to that, because I never got to experience vintage RFK. I never got to experience all
the
Well, you were part of the reason we had vintage RFK.
Oh, it was special, man. Well,
and I watched all the VHS tapes. I was indoctrinated as a kid. That's why I'm a diehard.
You don't have to be rude. From my VHS tapes and all that crap. Ain't that damn old.
I mean, that's what I watched,
it
right?
Is. And probably had some reel-to-reel back there, too.
Oh, yeah. The stands shaking, We Want Dallas, all that stuff gives me chills thinking about it. I didn't even get to experience it.
That was special, man. I hope they can, as we move into that, hope they can get that stands, the stands on the opposing side, to rock just like it did then.
I bet you that's intimidating fire.
Hell yeah.
Like, that's what Josh Harris talks about, right? He's wants to be welcoming to the home fans and the home team, but intimidating as can be to the opponent.
Hell yeah. If they see the fans making a stadium move, what do they think the fans could do to them?
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true. Want to get into some NFL draft talk. There's some rumors floating around right now that there could be some movement in the top of the draft, or at least some teams are fielding some calls about potential trades. We'll talk about it next here on B. Mitch and Finley.
When you're looking to sell a house, you want to get a closer, just like Ovi was last night. And that closer is our friend John Leahy in the Fine Living Group. Margaret and her husband were looking for a home in Annapolis neighborhood, which they specifically wanted to target. After John Leahy and the Fine Living Group showed up to show them the property they loved, the listing agent let them know that they already had two offers in hand. As John and his team began strategizing, three more offers were presented. Still, the Fine Living Group told them not to worry. After working on a few tweaks in regard to Margaret and Sergio's offer, the next day they was told their bid was the one being chosen by the seller. Over all five others, perhaps even more impressive, it was under contract in only 5 days. Do you need Margaret's pre-approval? You can get the ball rolling at johnsellsdmv.com. That's what I mean by John being a closer. John, we talk about our friend John Leahy and the Fine Living Group of eXp Realty. John offers you flexible fees, customized to your needs, and he knows that life happens. So if needed, John will let you out of your contract at any time. And that's why I trust my guy, the closer, John Leahy. You can call John today at 301-900-3052 or hit him online at johnsellsdmv.com. Or even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing.
Welcome back, B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer in for JP. Some people call me the other guy alongside B. Mitch.
Forever.
We did get some bad news about the Capitals about 15 minutes ago. Sammy Silber reporting, maybe some others as well, but that Martin Fairfire is going to be out for the playoffs.
Oh, damn. You know what, though? Here go my positive thinking. Every time you see a team make it somewhere, they overcome something.
This
would be low. Now we need to have Protus back for the show now.
And they've been relatively healthy.
Yeah.
So maybe this is the adversity, but Martin Fervari out for the playoffs. He underwent surgery on his meniscus. So bad news for the Capitals on their defensive, on their D side. Martin Fervari going to be done with surgery on his meniscus. We'll get back into the Capitals in a little bit. Right now, I want to talk about the NFL draft. There's some rumblings. I believe Peter Schrager, now of ESPN, formerly NFL Network, is reporting that the Browns and the Giants are currently fielding calls on the number 2 and number 3 overall picks. I don't know what team is going to want to come up there. So the first logical answer, I'd say, if you're fielding calls on the second overall pick, if you're Cleveland, is 9th overall with the Saints. If they're not buying the news that the Giants are going to pass on Shador and go with Abdul Carter, which I saw a little bit earlier today. I think Todd McShay was talking about that. If that's the case and they want Shador because of their quarterback situation, I could see them wanting to come up to 2 to make sure they get Shador. I don't see any other scenarios, though, where you want to come up there unless someone's
but
just
didn't he mention they were trying to go up to get, what's called, the Travis Hunter?
I just don't. Are you going to trade up for Travis Hunter like that?
Listen. As much as I don't believe someone's going to let him play both sides, someone is going to believe that this is a once-in-a-lifetime type talent, and I need to go get him. Somebody's going to do something a little stupid. Every year somebody does something stupid.
Yeah, of course. But
you
I
know,
mean,
as smart as they are, all the knowledge they have, somebody does something a little crazy, and they could.
But, I mean, if you look at teams that could potentially trade up to 2 or 3, obviously not going to happen at 4 with New England. I don't think that Jacksonville needs to move up for any guy. The Raiders, maybe? I still don't see a reason that they would need to move up unless they wanted to leapfrog the Jaguars. Listening to Ryan Wilson on with the Junks a little bit earlier today, he was saying that there's going to be some pondering in the Jaguars draft room about taking Jeanty. If the Raiders are set on Ashton Jeanty and they say, only chance we know for a fact we can get him is go up to 3 with the Giants.
See, that's the thing of it. It's more than just one. I don't know at this point, based off of what I've heard and what's been out there, I don't know if a team is moving up to go get Shador.
Well, so then what
but
would
I
you,
think other what, positions, maybe somebody they're moving up to get.
Would you move up for Abdul Carter?
Yeah, I'll move up for him. I'll move up for Jeanty. Ease quickly.
So
Jeanty is different, man. Like we just talked about it yesterday about watching Saquon break through the line and then run away from people.
Yeah.
He has that capability. And there are teams out there, what is the best partner for your quarterback? A running game, right?
Yeah.
This dude could take a lot of pressure off of some of these young quarterbacks.
Do you think that speaks higher to the prospects that we're talking about, those top-level guys, or maybe that teams aren't as worried about losing out on a second-round pick because they don't view it as big a deal this year?
Every year, we find a bunch of teams who look at it and say, can't miss, once in a lifetime. You got to forget about what everybody else is doing. If I'm a guy with a young quarterback or even an older quarterback, somebody that, but our running game sucks, and I see Jeanty there, I'll go get him. Because like you stated, the first year, the first contract isn't astronomical.
Yeah.
You'll figure it out later if you want to move into a second one. But hell, if I got him for 5 years with a young quarterback or an aging one that needs to take some pressure off of him, why not?
Yeah, I think you're not going to get some team to make some crazy move from outside the top 10 to 2 or 3 for one of these guys, I wouldn't think. But I guess it would make some sense if you're the Raiders and you're looking at the Jaguars who are supposedly in on Jeanty and you really want him, or if you're the Saints and you want to make sure you get your choice at quarterback instead of risking that the Giants could potentially take Shador or whoever you want at 3.
It comes down to what the other teams, what you assume the other team is thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at Abdul Carter, okay, guy was supposed to, he's very good. So the league is about quarterbacking and getting at the quarterback. Those are the top two positions. And then they move the receiver and the guy to cover the receiver. So your DBs.
Yeah.
If I think that guy is going to be that next level type dude, like if Michael Parsons was coming out today and they knew this stuff they knew, and no way he gets to 11.
Yeah, I want to dive down a little bit deeper on this a little bit later on the show, but what do we think the plan, or where do we think Shador ends up going? Because I don't see a reason why Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston would preclude them from taking him at three. I understand that you want to get a really good player. There's no question that if you're looking at the top three players in the draft, it's probably, what, Jentie, Abdul Carter, and Travis Hunter in whatever order. Mm-hmm. You're going to have an option at one of those guys because Cam Ward's going to go one. Doesn't really matter who the Browns take. You're going to still get an option at one of those guys. They're not going to take Jentie, so they probably take whoever's left of Carter or Hunter. But do you want to miss out on the quarterback? Because listening to some of the people talk about this, you got to think in their best option is probably taking one of those guys. But is it best for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll to take Abdul Carter, but and they still don't have quarterback solves?
They're dealing with self-preservation, though. The last thing Joe Shane wants to do is draft Shador and thinking that one day Mara might say, oh, you know what? Daboll, and think that it might be better if let me go get Deion and let him coach this team. That troubles people. But as Fred stated yesterday, if I'm Shador and I start dropping down in the draft, you might be happier because you're going to be going to probably a more stable team than some of these sucky teams that are picking in the top.
No question.
You know, because the teams that pick it in the first 5-10, they're normally not that damn good.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm Shador, and we're going to dive into this a little bit more later, if I'm Shador, I'm hoping I fall to 21 and end up in Pittsburgh. I think that's a perfect
situation.
That'd
be a great place for him.
I think that'd be a perfect situation for him.
But you have to believe that Daboll, he drafted Jameis. He understands what Jameis is capable of. I mean, he traded for him. Then he goes and he signs for him. Then he goes and get Russ. Russ, people say what they want because he's strange. Okay?
No doubt.
I saw Russ at the basketball games last two. But Russ, numbers are not terrible when you look at him. Okay? And now you go to New York, he has neighbors. He has a guy who can run past people. He can shake them up, do all kind of things. Russ might get a little bit more interested and can probably play. And I think they're looking at the veteran quarterback might be better for us at this point because they need to win.
Yeah,
there's no way possible that they could go around losing and think they're going to stay around a long time.
Yeah, I think that's the interesting part about this is which is best for them. Is it winning with the veteran or is it maybe being mediocre and trying to win some with the Shador and maybe saying, let us stick around? It's an interesting spot. I think that's the thing. That's where the league gets interesting because it's a self-preservation league. If in their best interest, they probably just take one of the best players. But do you consider the quarterback? Who knows? That's something that we'll dive into a little bit later. Coming up next, Thor Nystrom going to join us. Want to get into some NFL draft talk. First round of the draft comes up on Thursday. We'll dive into it next. You're on The Fan.